Good morning. It is a real joy, a real privilege to be back here at St. Thomas Crooks. I'm so grateful for my time here as a student, as a young adult, for the way people invested in me, for the way I was able to grow in my relationship with God. And just really grateful, really thankful for the way that you so graciously sent me out, kind of encouraged me in that call that I felt to Ecuador. And really, really thankful for people's continued prayers. I know people kind of give sacrificially, they support me in prayer, and it makes such a difference. So just want to take the opportunity to publicly say thank you. It is a real team effort. God has been so good. He's been so faithful. He has provided for everything that I've needed over the last 2 years. And although it's a bit of a kind of unstable, volatile situation in Ecuador at the moment, lots of things have kicked off. I've felt God's hand of protection on me every moment that I've been there, and just a real peace that is the place to be, and very aware that I couldn't do it without your prayers, couldn't do it without your support. So really, really appreciative of this church and this church family. So over these kind of couple of months, as you'll know, the Sunday teaching is exploring the early church in the book of Acts. And we're thinking about what can we learn from this group of believers from the early church about what on earth as in heaven looks like in Sheffield in 2024, looks like maybe further afield across the world. And Acts as a whole book, it traces this journey of the gospel spreading from Jerusalem all the way to Rome. And this is in line with Jesus' final commandment that he left his disciples to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But where we are in Acts at the moment, we're still quite early days in the beginning of the early church. And this passage today is where Luke kind of pauses in narrating about specific events to kind of zoom in to hone in on a snapshot of the early church and what life for the early believers looked like. And how the church is living here, how the apostles are living, is kind of building on and putting into practice the 3 years that they've had with Jesus. They've walked with him, they've seen his teaching, they've learned from him. And it's almost like this is the moment of truth. They've got an opportunity to put it into practice. Jesus has entrusted them with carrying on that mission of seeing his kingdom come here on earth. That they haven't been left alone. As Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, God has poured out his Holy Spirit. He's given the gift of his personal presence to each believer to empower them to be God's witnesses in the world. And so we're looking at this passage in Acts 2 today, which kind of gives us a sense of what are some of the signs of life of this early church. So we'll read the passage together now. It's Acts 2, verses 42-47. It says this: "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So what signs of life do we kind of see in this snapshot into the early church? Verse 42 says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." And jumping down to verse 46, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts." So firstly, they're receiving the apostles' teaching. They're opening the Bible together. They're attentive to what God is saying to them through his scriptures. They're listening to, they're meditating on his word. They're putting into practice what God reveals through the Bible. And we know that kind of reading, studying, meditating on God's word is how we nourish our faith, isn't it? If we want to grow in our relationship with Jesus, if we want to get to know him better, the Bible is the best way to do that. And then the believers are spending time in fellowship. They're together in community. They're meeting together daily in the temple courts. They're in and out of each other's homes, sharing meals together. And there's a real sense of kind of community that everyone was welcome, that they spent time together in fellowship. And then there's breaking of bread, probably referred to as the Lord's Supper in verse 42, what we know as communion. They would remember Jesus' sacrifice by sharing the bread and the wine to represent his body and his blood that was poured out for us. and then they're spending time in prayer. The Greek word is in the plural, so probably referred to the prayers the believers kind of gather together at regular times during the week, spending time together in prayer to seek God. And in a sense, as I was kind of thinking about this passage and thinking about the early church, I feel like here at St. Thomas Crooks, I'm sort of preaching to the choir. It's very much in your DNA, the signs that we see here. You gather together on Sundays to receive teaching, to learn from the Bible. You have fellowship together in your tables in different communities during the week. We share communion together. There are regular times of prayer, morning prayers. The prayer shed is open. And so these are really good signs of life. And even from a physical distance over the past couple of years, I've still felt that. I've still felt part of the community. So thankful for the production team, which means that I can join in on the live streams every now and then. Really thankful for the way people have opened up their homes, shared hospitality with me as I've been back to visit. And as I mentioned before, feel so upheld and supported and very aware of people's prayers. And so I want you to feel encouraged this morning. I want you to feel encouraged that there are signs of life. There are signs that God is moving in and through this community. But we're not just going to stop there and kind of tick that and move on. I believe that God always has more for us. He always wants us. He always invites us to go deeper with him. And so I want to kind of spend some time thinking about some of the kind of qualities that characterized these aspects of the early church, these signs of life. And as I've been reading this passage over the past couple of weeks and thinking about what to share, the words that just kept kind of coming back to me, kept sticking in my mind, was this word devoted or devotion. In verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves. And devotion means to give all of something, especially your time, effort, or love, or yourself, to something you believe in or to a person, to give all of something. In the Greek, it literally translates as to attend constantly. So being devoted is to persevere. It's being giving constant attention to something. And we see that the believers in this passage in Acts 2, they were all in, weren't they? It wasn't a half-hearted commitment. It wasn't when they had time, when they felt like it, when everything else in life was ready and sorted. They were all in. They were devoted day in, day out. And Jesus often talks about this type of devotion, this commitment in the Gospels. For example, in Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 to 22, Jesus talks about the cost of following him. And it says this, then a teacher of the law came to him and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. It's serious stuff, isn't it? A few chapters later in Matthew 16, verses 24 to 25, Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. And these verses are a massive challenge, aren't they? It's a costly sacrifice to be devoted in our faith, to give our all to Jesus. And yet he never asks us to do anything that he hasn't already done. We know that Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice in dying the most painful death on a cross to save you and to save me. And it is so worth it. Jesus says, whoever loses their life will find it. So when we devote ourselves fully to Jesus, when we're following in his ways, we find life, life in all its fullness. We find purpose, we find meaning. And the early believers in Acts chapter 2, they'd followed Jesus' ministry, they'd experienced the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit, and they knew that committing their life to this life in community was worth all of their devotion. And I want to encourage you not to settle for less. Jesus wants our whole hearts, our whole lives, because we know that he is worthy. When I moved to Ecuador just over 2 years ago, I knew that was where God was leading. God had been very gracious in kind of confirming it in lots of different ways along the way, but still felt quite a step of faith as I kind of got on the plane and left a lot behind here, kind of really hoping that I had heard God right on this one. But ever since I arrived, I've just had such a sense of peace that it was the right move to make, that that is the right place to be. And there've definitely been moments where I've kind of wondered what on earth I'm doing, or am I up to the job? Am I up to the task? But I've not for a moment doubted that's where God has called me and placed me to be for this time. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." And that is my testimony, really, that when we are obedient to what God puts on our heart, when we devote ourselves to fully to his will, there's no better place to be. And I think for everyone, what that call for Jesus, what that call to devote ourselves fully to him looks like is going to be different for each one of us. For some, that is maybe physically going to another place. For others, that's staying right where we are, investing in the people around us and the people that God has put us in community with. But we've all got that invitation. God invites us all to participate in his mission, to be his hands and feet on this earth, to be in the place that he calls us to be. And it's worth all of our devotion. So as the believers devoted themselves fully, I think there's a real sense of joy in this. It says in verse 43, everyone was filled with awe. And in verse 46, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And there's a sense of joy here, a sense of the fullness of life amongst the early believers. They didn't kind of follow Jesus out of a sense of duty, out of a sense of this is a chore, this is what Jesus has told us to do. There's a real sense of joy, of being filled with awe at what God was doing, of having glad and sincere hearts as they spent time in community. And this reminded me, I'm back in the UK for 3 months at the moment, and I've had to leave the flat that I rent out in Ecuador empty for this time. And where I live in the city of Santo Domingo, it's a very tropical climate. So it is lovely, but lots very humid. Lots of kind of things get mouldy very easily. If you don't sweep the floor for a few days, kind of fluffy mould starts to appear between the tiles. If you leave kind of a speck of something on the worktop, an army of ants comes out from I don't know where and charges over the worktops. And so as I was kind of packing, preparing to leave, I thought the best bet I've got of kind of not coming back to a complete mould fest in the flat was to leave everything as clean as I could. And so I left on a Sunday morning, the Friday before, kind of did a deep clean of the flat, was clean in the kitchen, clean behind the cooker, behind the fridge, kind of everywhere that you wouldn't normally clean. And then in the evening, invited my Ecuadorian family round. I live with the family for the first year and kind of feel, since I've moved out to the flat, still kind of feel very much part of the family. They're my sort of support network there. And so I wanted to invite them round and see them before I left. I thought, what can I do that's kind of minimal mess for the kitchen? And Ecuadorians eat the main meal at lunch, eat something lighter in the evening. So I thought, I'll serve them some coffee and a bread roll, which sounds a bit strange, but that's quite typical for kind of a light bite in Ecuador. So I messaged them on the WhatsApp group, invited them round. They replied and said, "Oh, sounds lovely, we'll be there soon." And then they turned up. There's about 10 of them en masse, if all of the, just in the immediate family, went out to let them through the gate. And they came in kind of laden with these pots and pans and this frying pan and these bags of food. And they said, "Oh, we got your message and we were just preparing dinner. So we thought we'd just bring everything over and we'll finish it off in your kitchen." And I thought, I feel a bit ashamed that my first thought was not full of joy. It was not with a glad and sincere heart like we read about here in this passage. I just thought, oh, my clean kitchen. But once I kind of got over the initial surprise, I was so glad that they felt comfortable just to rock up, just to take over the kitchen. And I think Ecuadorians have certainly taught me a lot about keeping an open home, eating together, sharing together with glad and sincere hearts. So we see that the believers were devoted, they were joyful, and they were unified. Verse 44 says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Now, this was no mean feat. At the beginning of Acts chapter 2, it says that Jews from every nation under heaven were gathered together in Jerusalem. Jews from every nation. And so we would have had a mix of cultures, languages, values, beliefs, backgrounds, ways of doing things, all gathering together, all coming together to be part of this early church. And one commentary that I read on this passage said, the experience of the Spirit does not only bring individuals into intimate and abiding relationship with God, it brings individuals into intimate and abiding relationship with the people of God. And I think this is a taste of heaven on earth, isn't it? When we come from different cultures, different backgrounds, different languages, and yet by the power of the Holy Spirit, God unites us. We know that this is hard to humanly bring about, but this is what happens as God fills us with his Spirit, as Jesus shapes and molds our character. He unites us. We are one body of Christ. And then the final characteristic just to think about at the moment is generosity. Verse 45 says, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone, anyone, as he had need. And so as the early church learnt from the Bible, they spent time together in fellowship, they broke bread, they were praying together. As they did this, the more they cared for those in need, the more they were stirred to generosity. And it's a radical generosity. Some versions say about selling their property and all their possessions. And that feels really challenging, doesn't it? But again, that's what the Holy Spirit does. As he fills us up, he moves our heart for people in need. And what I'm encouraged, what I like about it in this passage is that it all kind of rolls into one. As the believers are gathering together, they're coming together in the temple courts, they're in and out of their homes, and they're reaching out to people in need. There's a sense of gathering together and then scattering. We don't spend all our time in church, we don't spend all our time outside. There's a both and. We come together as the people of God and we reach out to those in need. These verses, as I mentioned at the beginning, definitely give us a snapshot into the early church. And the reality is that we kind of zoom in on this unique experience. It's a definite high point, a definite sort of mountaintop moment, as the early believers have not long ago witnessed the events of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it's really positive, isn't it? It's really exciting, kind of all these signs of life that we read about. But as I was sort of thinking about and praying towards today, just felt to check, to be sort of honest, I think to acknowledge the obvious reality, really, that life isn't always like that, is it? We don't always want to be generous. We don't always feel joyful when we gather together. Disunity often gets in the way. And without wanting to spoil the next few weeks, we'll see as we carry through in the book of Acts that this is what happens to the early church. They soon start to face challenges, opposition increases, they're facing obstacles. And last week, if you were here, Marjorie reminds us that as power increases, opposition also increases. And I think as we press into all that God has for us, it's likely we will face some obstacles and challenges along the way. And that's been a lot of my experience really over the past couple of years as well, that there's been some sort of incredible mountaintop moments and some real challenges as well. And I was particularly thinking about how in this passage we see the believers opened up their homes, they shared food together in their homes. And as I've tried to do this in my flat in Santo Domingo in maybe a bit of a different way, in a different culture, in a second language, there have definitely been highs and lows along the way. One of my involvements in Santo Domingo is supporting children, young people who live in a children's home called Orfades. Slightly unfortunately does what it says on the tin. Some time of the week I kind of spend there accompanying children and young people, taking them back from school, helping them with homework, different activities. And as I've kind of got to know them better, as I've been more involved in the work, what I really feel like God has been putting on my heart is how to support the older teenagers, particularly who come to move out of Orfades once they've kind of turned 18. They can choose to leave. But that transition from kind of growing up in a very different environment to growing up within a family is often really hard. You're suddenly out in the big wide world, lots of stuff that you kind of haven't picked up on that you might do otherwise growing up in a family. And really sad to kind of see particularly girls who've moved out previously, some of the choices that they've made, the cycles that they kind of get stuck in. And so my vision for moving out with the Ecuadorian family into my own flat was to have some space to invite some of these girls to come and live with me as a first step of moving out of Orfades and kind of moving on to the next thing. And last year I had one girl who came to live with me for 5 months. And without kind of going into too much detail, it was definitely a challenging time. Wasn't the most fruitful time, to say the least. And I felt like I'd kind of unexpectedly ended up parenting a teenager, or what I feel like, or what I imagine is parenting a teenager. unfortunately, she wasn't able to kind of make the most of the opportunity that I was trying to offer. And in the end, I kind of felt like I had to decide I was putting myself at too much risk and had to ask her to leave. And sadly, that kind of ended up very messily. It's still quite messy. And I was kind of left wondering, talking to God after and kind of saying, why has this worked out so differently to what I feel like God had put on my heart? I can definitely kind of see things that he was teaching me, ways that he was refining my character, things he was revealing to me. But certainly felt like a time of opposition rather than kind of seeing the power of the Holy Spirit move. But then at the same time, another thing I've been involved in is leading the students and young adults kind of equivalent type group at my church in Ecuador. And in a lot of Ecuadorian churches, Sunday school is for all ages. So each kind of age and stage, including adults, will have a group. And so after the morning service, instead of mingling around over coffee and tea, everyone goes out to their Sunday school class for another kind of hour of Bible study, which is quite hardcore. And so I was involved in leading this one for over 18s. You literally, the church is also a school, so we're literally in a school classroom on these kind of wooden seats with the bench, with the desk kind of attached around it. And after a few months of kind of getting a feel for the community, working out what was going on, I felt like it wasn't the most conducive sort of environment to building community, to growing in relationship with one another. And so after a few months, I started gathering this group in my flat on a Saturday afternoon once a month. And a bit controversial move at the time, surprised some people that we were in a house rather than the church, but I stuck to my guns. And after a few months, it was just amazing to kind of see that change in dynamic in the group as they kind of were in a different space, in a different setting, the way they sort of started to open up, the way they shared about life, the way they kind of grew in relationship with one another was amazing to see, and started then kind of inviting their friends along, and by God's grace, the group sort of really grown. We had 0 to 2 people kind of coming along at the start, and now about 20 to 25 students and young adults connected in. And so God has been so gracious in that kind of area in doing an amazing work in and through that group. And so I think what I've been learning, what God has been teaching me, is that we often don't get the highs without the lows. We have the blessings, but we also have the battles. And as we push for seeing God's kingdom come, as we step into all that he has for us, we will face opposition. But going back to that verse earlier, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And that's what we trust, isn't it? Can I invite the band back up as we kind of come to a close? We've come to the last phrase in verse 47, which says, "The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." It's not the believers who added to their number. It wasn't Peter or it wasn't John, but the Lord. And the fellowship of the early believers that we kind of read about here, the signs of life that was happening, it's not a formula for what we should do in order to grow. We don't save people through our own striving, through our own strength, through our own efforts. It is only the Lord in his power and in his timing. It's by a work of the Spirit so that he is praised and he is glorified. And obviously, at the same time, that doesn't mean that we sit back and we do nothing. God invites us to be a part of that, to play a part in that. But we don't need to feel the weight of responsibility for that. We don't need to push for things in our own strength. We don't need to strive, because it's the Lord who adds, and we can trust him with that. So I want to ask you, what is God saying to you this morning? Where is he kind of nudging you? What has he been revealing to you? Maybe he's asking for your devotion, and maybe he's asking for you to recommit all of yourself to him, all the areas of your life. Maybe it's asking God to fill you with joy again as you're involved in community, that would be a joyful thing where you feel freedom. Or maybe it's what I just shared, it's trusting that the Lord will add. It's taking away that need to strive in our own strength, pushing to grow the numbers in our own strength. Maybe it's trusting that the Lord will add. And so I'm going to pray and then we're going to respond in worship. But I'd encourage you just to take some time to listen to God, to bring whatever is on your heart to him. And I'm sure the prayer team will be around at the front for people who want to pray, receive prayer and pray about something specifically. So can I invite you to stand and I'll pray for us. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage, Lord, full of encouragement and full of excitement about what you were doing by the power of your Holy Spirit in the early church, Lord. And we thank you that there are signs of life in this community, Lord. There are signs of life that you are working, that you are moving, Lord. And we thank you for the gifts and for the blessing that it is to be part of this community, Lord. But I want to ask you, God, that you would just stir our hearts right now, Lord, that you would come and speak to us, that we wouldn't settle for what's been before, for what's going on right now, Lord, but that we would be open to all that you have for us, God. And so, Lord, maybe there are areas of our life or things that are going on, Lord, that we haven't fully committed to you, Lord, where we haven't completely devoted ourselves to you. And Lord, where you're putting that on our heart, Lord, we choose you. We choose to commit all of ourselves to you again this morning. We devote ourselves to you. God, maybe where being part of community, being involved has felt like a chore, it's felt like a duty. God, I ask that you would fill us with your joy again this morning. Lord, that we would know that you have come, that we may have life and life in all its fullness, Lord. I pray that you would bring your joy in this place this morning. And God, where we have strived in our own strength, where we have pushed to grow things, to grow the numbers, Lord, we say that we're sorry that maybe we've not trusted you, Lord. It is you who adds and it's you who takes away. And God, we want to lay it all down before you this morning and trust that you will bring the breakthrough, that you will do the work. And so as we respond now, God, I pray that you would speak to us, that you would stir our hearts, that you would reveal more of yourself to us in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.